person at your life. You're a discontented mother and a regimented wife. I've no doubt you dream about the things you'll never do, but I wish someone had a talk to me like I want to talk to you. Ooh, I've been to Georgia and California and anywhere I could run. Took the hand of a preacher man and we made love in the sun. But I ran out of places and friendly faces because I had to be free. I've been to paradise, but I never been to me.
I'm here with Charlene Oliver, who first came to prominence with a song called I've Never Been to Me that was first released in 1976. It became perhaps a little better known as a lip sync vehicle. Could you talk a little bit about the history of your songwriting career?
Well, 1976 was the first release of the song, and it didn't do anything. It got to like 97 on the charts, on the pop charts, and then fell off. And I had left the music industry, and I moved to London where I got married and was working in a sweet shop, which is like a candy store. And then I got a call in 1982, about 7 years after the song had been released the first time. And I was told by Motown Records that I had left. They said, "You're on the charts." And I thought it was a joke. I was like, "What? We talking about I'm on the charts. I'm not even, there's nothing released." And they said, "Your song, I've Never Been to Me, is number 30 on the pop Billboard charts." It was quite astonishing to me. And I was right back into the music industry again, which I had been in for so many years. The song just became a huge worldwide hit. I traveled all over the world doing, you know, shows and TV shows, and the song is still breathing. It's still going. Jimmy Fallon did a lip sync of it recently on his show. And it's really been a fun time with the song. It's been fantastic.
Anyone who has seen the film, it was an Australian film, I believe, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, featuring some cross-dressing heroes, including Hugo Weaving of Matrix fame. He lip-synced as his character.
Yes, so fun. In fact, I went to Australia for the opening of the musical Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and I did the show and the opening of the musical. I'd spoken to the lead actor, and he said, "We had so much fun with your song, Charlene. We had so much fun." It was quite interesting to see that the musical was fantastic. The song I've Never Been to Me was written by Ron Miller and Kenny Hirsch. They were writers for Motown, and Ron had always heard my voice, and he wrote this song specifically for my voice, which was so flattering to me because I was doing demos for Michael Jackson and Diana Ross and a lot of people, and working with Bob Gaudio with the Four Seasons and doing all this different kind of music. And then Ron Miller approached me in the hallway of Motown, and he said, "I've got a song for you." At that time, I was going through a really, really ugly first marriage. It was bad. It was very bad. Well, he brought me into his office, and he pushed the button, this little rinky-dink tape recorder, and on goes, "Hey, lady, you lady, cursing at your life. You're a discontented mother and a regimented wife. I've no doubt you dream about the things you'll..." I broke down crying because a song just spoke to me. It was like, wait, are you living in my life with me? So Ron Miller stopped his tape recorder and he said, "I've been listening to your voice for a couple years now and you've got a beautiful voice and I just wrote this for you." So I did it and it was magnificent. It was just unbelievable, unbelievable song. And it touched my life so much.
You were at Motown at the end of what I would call its heyday, the period during which the Jackson Five were active and then Michael Jackson's solo career, and many others. Do you have any recollection of any interaction with other Motown artists or producers?
Everybody hung out in the office. 9000 Sunset Boulevard was the name of the office on the 17th floor. That's where we'd all hang out. Stevie was there, Michael, all the Motown people. And I remember one day we were in Ron Miller's office, just kind of playing around the piano. And Stevie came in with his entourage. You know, he had these people because he needed to be somebody to walk him around, and just the most incredible guy. And he came in and he sat down next to me on the piano. And he said, "Charlene, I want you to do a third above. This is a new song I just wrote called Taboo to Love." And he started singing it. And he said, "Do a third above me." And we would just jam. And it was, oh, my gosh, the most incredible memories of Stevie and Michael. You know, just it was like a family. You're right. It was like the heyday at Motown. It was like a family time, you know, and I was so honored to be a part of that.
Is there anything else you might like to discuss about your performance career or anything in the ensuing years, such as in England?
In England, I was such a iconic figure. I toured all over. It was amazing. And going to Australia and going into Europe, it was such a fun time. And we did I've Never Been to Me as a dance song, which took on a whole different feeling. And I did a lot of clubs through Europe and England, and it was a fun time. But every time on that stage, when I do the dance version, I did California Dreamin', I redid that as a dance song. But every time I came back to the ballad, it was like cheers. People loved that song. They loved it. They identified with it. It was like, wow, what was the mystique of that song? I guess it was the loneliness, the same thing that hit me when I first heard it. People going through pain in their life, and it's that song spoke to them like it spoke to me back in the early days when I first heard it. You know, so it was an amazing time. It was an amazing time.
And before we move on, you know, given that you were an expatriate American in England for a time, in recent news, of course, there is the Brexit, Britain voting to leave the European Union. Just in passing, do you have any thoughts on this news?
I think it's terrible. I don't like it. I don't like it. I own a property in England, and it's like, oh, no, I've heard that it's crashing. It's really bad, but it will recover. England is a really resourceful country. They are so careful. They're so careful on every level, you know. So I think they will recover, but I would not have voted for that. I would have been, you know, stay where you guys are. You're a part of Europe. Stay a part of Europe. Stay connected. So if I would have been there and if I would have voted, I would have voted against it. And I think it was a bad idea.
And another thing it might be interesting to hear your take on is after this upheaval of leadership, seeing a woman in the office as prime minister again.
Oh, yeah. Well, Margaret Thatcher was amazing. They called her the Iron Lady. Iron Lady. So let's see who can fit into her shoes. You know, let's see if this new person can fit into her shoes and do, you know, what she did. But it's different times. It was different times then. Like, it's different times now here. Things have changed so much. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah, we have seen we have seen all sorts of issues from violence to politics that never would have anticipated when you first were recording.
Oh, never. Never, never, never in our wildest dreams. But, you know, life takes a turn and things change and generations change. My daughter, who's 26 years old, says, "Mom," she goes, "I wish I was born in your era." And I said, "I know. We had the best music. Our 60s and 70s and 80s was like the best." She doesn't like the music now. She doesn't like what's going on. It's so different. you know, because I've given her a lot of cultural background, and she's a lot of, you know, things of what went on. You know, we talk a lot, you know, so, and she traveled with me all over the world and kind of saw a lot of things going on. And she loves England very much. If she could, she would move tomorrow back to England. We have a little 15th century flat in a place called Hadley, Suffolk. That is just, it's so beautiful. It's forest and thatch cottages. Feel like you're in Storyville with three little pigs. I mean, it's just really, it's beautiful. But we are living in different times. We're in a different time.
And one of the reasons that I did segue to some more serious discussion is that I couldn't quite anticipate how to make the transition from talking about your performance career to the book Orphan Train, which is a very sobering subject. It deals with the Holocaust. It deals with some issues. And in reading the novel, it struck me that you must have at least been thinking a little bit of the Diary of Anne Frank when you were working on this project.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. I got to tell you, my heart was pulled. I went to the Museum of Tolerance many years ago, very interested in it, very, you know, wanting to know what went on. And I saw the movie with Hilary Swank called Freedom Riders, where Miep Gies, I know it's only an actress, but she came out and she talked about what she went through and housing the Jews and with Anne. And that pulled my heart so deep into wanting to know. And you know, of course, it's fiction. So there's a love romance in the book, but also tied into the horrific, horrific atrocities that went on in the Holocaust. And I loved it when Hilary Swank said, you know, gangs, you guys talk about gangs. And they were drawing pictures of kids with big noses and big lips and everything. She goes, I'll tell you about a gang. This gang didn't take over neighborhoods. They took over countries, you know, and it's sobering to those kids. And at the end where the boy gets up and says, you're my hero, you know, I mean, it almost brings me to tears just even talking about it. I just felt so, so sad for these people. And I read part of the book, Eli Wiesel, you know, who just passed away recently. I couldn't read too much of his book. It just made me so sad. And you know, thinking of Ravensbrück, the camp where my character, Christina Nava, was brought to, was a woman's camp. And not many people knew about that. It was only 90 kilometers from Berlin. You know, it was very close. And so there's a lot. It's a lot. It's a very deep subject. And just, I found it so fascinating. And like you said, sobering, very sobering.
For our listeners who may be familiar with the nonfiction work, literally the Diary of Anne Frank, this young Jewish teen.
Yes.
This was something based on her diary. Her father, Otto Frank, found the diary and kept it safe. And after the war, it found its way to publishers, I believe, with Otto Frank's blessing.
Yeah.
Now, in looking at that book and looking at your novel, a work of fiction, how would you compare and contrast some themes running through Orphan Train with, say, what you know of Anne Frank's?
Well, to me, Anne Frank was very strong. She was strong. I mean, she came out of the gate. She was strong. And to me, when I read the book and when I saw the film, you know, she's very different from Christina Nava. Christina was very family. I mean, of course, Anne was too. But to me, Christina was very innocent and afraid. She was, the whole beginning when they first came into their home, she was afraid. And plus, she was looked at. She had become this Commandant Schuster. he was in love with her. He was infatuated with her. But then again, later on in the book, she got strong, too. She started going, she said, women have a lot of power, and I never realized how much power I had over him. So, I mean, it's you can't compare it, because Anne Frank, that's a true novel. Oh, my gosh, that's history. That's her writing, you know. Christina Nava is fiction, and it's not real, but we do bring a lot of the reality of Ravensbrück and the reality of how women were so brutally treated, and even worse than Auschwitz, because in Ravensbrück there was a lot of experimentation going on, and they took baby women were allowed to go there and have babies, you know. So it's the history in it, and it's also the fiction in it. So it's kind of a mixture of both. So I would never try to put it on the same pedestal with Anne. I mean, Anne was from her reality.
I have a brief excerpt from the beginning of, I think, the second chapter. It is framed as a recording, an interview that's being done with Christina. It reads as follows. My name is Christina Nava. My mother's name was Ariela Navaman, and my father's name was Frederick Amit Navaman. He changed our last name to Nava. I was born in Koszalin in Poland. It is on the outer coast near the Baltic Sea, so that makes me Polish. I have heard that I am also part French and, of course, Jewish. I will tell you now about when I was 15 years old. This was at the time when the Nazis had risen to power in Germany, and we were horrified by what happened to the Jews there. My mama and papa said not to worry. Our government would never let that happen. So I believed them and did my best to be a child. But when the Nazis invaded our country, everything changed. I was young and had all the energy of a typical child that age. And, oh my, I was skinny. My mother always told me I had to put some meat on my bones. It wasn't for lack of trying. All I did was eat, never gained a pound. I loved to sit by the river and try to draw like my mother. When you were drawing inspiration for the dialogue, for the inner voice of Christina and the characterizations in the novel, what resources did you rely on to develop that narrative?
Myself. My own. I went through a real private hell in my life. I mean, nothing I could ever compare it to being in those circumstances, but I was a battered wife for a long time. So I was very frightened. So I think pulling that character of her being so afraid, she was frightened. She was unsure. She called mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, even though she was, you know, in her teens. It's like she was very frightened. So I think I pulled from my own life, from my own sadness and my own fear. I mean, I've got PTSD still, and it's something that I will always have the rest of my life from being in the situation that I was in. But I think I pulled a lot from my own story, my own life. Christina was like just an offshoot of me, but in a much more horrific, horrific life.
Charlene, I don't know if any reviews have been posted yet for Orphan Train, but where will this novel be available? Is it going to be marketed on Amazon?
It's going to be on Amazon and Smashwords, and our website is orphantrain.webs.com. So that's where people can get it, and it's going to be in Barnes & Noble, I've heard. I am so excited to walk into that store and see my book there. It's been a dream. I love, you know, Rachel, I love writing. I've loved writing all my life. I've been a fantasy. I've got three other books that I'm in the process of writing as well, but I love writing. And it's been a dream. This is even, the music is great, but even more than music and singing, I'm passionate about writing. Just love it.
You've published some other writing, I believe. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
That was my autobiography called I've Never Been to Me. that I wrote in 2000. It was released in 2009 in London by Beautiful Books. And then I did Herman the Worm, which is a little children's book. I kind of go from that to that, you know, from a children's book. A little worm who gets lost in a front yard, which is like thousands of miles to him. So I wrote that. It's called The Life and Tales of Herman the Worm. And that is also available on Amazon and Smashwords as well. And so that's out there. And that's been out there quite a while. But my autobiography is called I've Never Been to Me, and that's my life story. That gets very deep.
Charlene, have you ever written poetry or lyrics for songs and such?
Yes, I've written quite a few songs. Poetry, not so much. More songs. And you know what's funny? To me, it's harder to write a 3-minute song than it is to write a 500-page book. It's just because I like that elongated time. I like to develop and marinate in a story and feel it. In songs, it's over so quick. You know, it's just too, it's, I don't know. I just enjoy writing books more than songs, but I have written quite a few songs. I wrote with Ron Miller, who wrote For Once in My Life, I've Never Been to Me, Touch Me in the Morning, Heaven Help Us All, just a brilliant songwriter. He and I wrote some beautiful songs. They're in Motown's catalog, which I don't know if those will ever, you know, be released, but they're out there, and they're not out there to purchase or to hear. They're just kind of in Motown's catalog of songs.
Is there anything else that you would like KGLP's listeners to know about Charlene Oliver, Orphan Train, your signature song, I've Never Been to Me, your autobiography, or your life?
Orphan Train is a very special book. I just visualized, you know, this train coming from the horrific life and bringing away, going away and starting a life. I just hope people enjoy Orphan Train. And I would love for them to get fed in some way of, learning the history along with the fiction, and, it'd be wonderful. And I just hope that I can touch lives, through music or books, and, check out Orphan Train website, orphantrain.webs.com. And Amazon and Smashwords.
I've been speaking with Charlene Oliver, singer-songwriter, a singer of I've Never Been to Me, and author of Orphan Train, among other creations. Thank you so much, Charlene, for spending a few minutes with me today.
Thank you, Rachel.